Welcome to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to On the Road Again.
This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
The picture you paint is one of devastation. You'll know that the Israeli military say that they have killed and detained hundreds of Hamas militants within the al-Shifa complex. Do you know if Hamas were there and were fighting with the Israelis?
I am just shocked that we're still having this conversation. They executed tens of people point blank, including one of our colleagues, Dr. Ahmed Khalilati, who's a very experienced plastic surgeon, him and his mother, who's also a physician. They executed people point blank. And including many of our colleagues who've been detained now, we haven't heard back from them. Previous students of mine detained, young doctors detained. We don't know if they're dead or alive. They have been gone for over 100 days. So to say that this is a strategic targeting of Hamas is an insult to our intellect and our humanity. This is a destruction of people who heal. This is a direct targeting of healthcare workers. I just want to paint a very brief picture of what healthcare workers are telling me there. They're saying that when they leave the hospital, civilians give them civilian clothing because wearing scrubs is sticking a target sticker on their back. That is how systematically healthcare has been targeted. And frankly, you know, in the last 24 hours, what we've seen from Al-Shifa Hospital, what we've seen from Al-Aqsa Hospital, and what I worry is coming to the remaining hospitals of Gaza, of the Gaza Strip, because it has been the pattern and we will not ignore it, is a direct and systematic targeting of healthcare that is unjustifiable.
Good evening, Patriots. And that's a report from Gaza on the ongoing saga of the annihilation and extermination of the Palestinian race, brought to you by Israel, who believes that every child and every person that is a Palestinian is a terrorist and deserves to be killed without mercy. And if they can maim them along the way, they find greater joy in all of this. This is the world we live in. And this is the world now that is careening into the pits of hell, and we are married at the hip with Israel. As God says, nations shall be judged. And we are literally in a place right now where we are walking into a darkness of judgment. It's going to need more prayer than ever, because we're literally walking in concert with evil right now. Patriots, before we get going tonight, one thing that is evident beyond measure is these psychopaths will do almost anything to retain power, and it's something we have to literally be on top of at all times. One of those things that always faces us is the issue and reality of the possibility of having an EMP strike, or some other form of disruption, be it lightning strikes or even solar flares that they don't want to let you know that are coming. These things can incinerate electronics, especially your control systems on your vehicles, ATVs, RVs, your backup generators, and even elements within your whole household system. That's why we have EMP Shield. Head on over to EMPShield.com, EMPShield.com. Use your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. That'll give you $50 off and free shipping. It's a tremendous opportunity to take this and to use that to acquire the products that you need for your home. They have ones for your whole house. They have them for standalone generator, RVs, ATVs, vehicles. They're all different types, even a ham radio base station and solar systems, really important. And these devices are American-made, veteran-owned company, and American-tested at the best American labs. So again, EMPShield.com, EMPShield.com, promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, for $50 off and free shipping. Great opportunity to get yourself better protected for the unknowns that lie ahead. We are literally in a problem right now in this world. And as we are sitting here on the cusp of a eclipse event, these psychopaths are just ramping it up. And they are ramping it up in a big way. Israel being number one on the list right now, as they are going through a open annihilation of Palestinians and trying to provoke a global world war. They also struck the Iranian embassy in Syria and tried to, or I believe it was Syria, and tried to justify it by saying they took out one of the Iranian generals. Iran is contemplating counterstrikes and have said that it may consider doing direct missile attacks from Iran into Israel. Russia is furious and has backed Iran. This is the polarization that Israel is looking for, because the only way it can move forward and to ensure that its butchering and burning of the calves is successful is if they are able to bring the world to nuclear war and then have an excuse to wipe out the mosque, which will then inflame every Muslim in the entire world so that they can build the third temple. That's only after that this white and marble-looking surface that they're going to do the slaughtering on will be dripped in red blood and be covered in burnt ash from these burned red heifers. So this is all on the near horizon. These red heifers are going to have to be sacrificed somewhere in the next 30 days or so. They're coming up on their anniversary of the window of time that needs to be done. They have to be done at a certain age of the calf. They all have to be perfect, as you have heard. The rumor has it that one of them had white hairs on it, and so they've had to kill it before they start. I would encourage everybody to pray for lots of white hairs on these red calves. This is nuts, and this is an insanity that we're dealing with here, that's being driven by a Babylonian group that is calling themselves Jews and has hijacked the entire faith and is trying to justify the annihilation of everybody else but themselves in the name of what they say is God. This is defaming God in the worst possible way, and it's putting us in a horrific position. This is more on that from this nurse that was just speaking. Her name is Dr. Tanya Haj Hassan, and she just spent 2 weeks in Gaza. Take a listen to this.
Having to tell a father or a mother that their entire family, their lifelong partner, and all of their children have just been killed and you weren't able to resuscitate them is something that was very difficult to experience, and something that I hope I never have to experience again. And frankly, it's something that I just feel ashamed that we're still talking about, 7 months into this. It just is such a stark representation of our failure, of our failure as humanity, that this is not a humanitarian crisis. This is the worst of what humanity is capable of, and it's entirely all man-made. And when you witness it firsthand, it's an unbearable injustice.
I want you to hear the justifications given for killing kids. I think it's important. This is coming from us and from the White House. Take a listen.
Do not believe that this attack was on the hospital. The attack was on the Hamas fighters that are hiding inside a hospital. Some place that they should never be.
We also have to call out Hamas here. They are operating out of hospitals. Out of hospitals. That's what they're doing. They're embedding themselves in civilian population. This is what they're doing.
So according to that set of rules, if we're going to be fair as fair, that means that what we're saying is that, first of all, what they're saying is that if children are in the hospital, that they deserve to be killed because they have to get to Hamas. That's the first part of that, right? It also goes further to say that if any of these criminals happen to be in the hospital, you can wipe them out as well. I mean, this is an insane concept. I mean, it's like there's no concept in war that they won't do, and there's nobody that they will not slaughter. They are out to annihilate an entire population using whatever excuse they can. And in doing so, children are getting maimed, murdered. I think it's 1 in 5 Palestinian children now are missing a limb. That's called a humanitarian crisis. They don't want to call it what it is. It's genocide is what we're experiencing. And it is truly a point of time that we have to start really praying against this. This is not God's way. This is not the way of Jesus. This is the way of the devil and his agents, which are Khazarian mafia that have taken over Israel and are using our technologies and their technologies to try to provoke and bring about the Antichrist and bring about a bloodbath on the global scale they will bring everybody to war. So this is not what it seems. If you are one of those that is supporting Israel, I would tell you to start opening your eyes. And I think that that's probably best said by this piece here, which is from TrueNews.com.
I'm going to tell you something right now. These pulpit prostitutes in America that are gleeful over the death of children, absolutely gleeful, hyperventilating.
Oh, they've been waiting for this for a long time.
For years, decades, they've waited for this to happen.
They've been looking, I get to scratch that off my chart.
Yep. I'm going to tell you, the judgment of God is on them right now. Doc, I believe death angels are marking these Christian Zionists. I believe death angels are marking them. Judgment's on them. You can't do this stuff under God's name.
No, you can't.
You might want to do it under your name, but when you use God's name and you justify mass slaughter of children, what did Jesus say about the children? Let the children come unto me. What did he say about people that would harm a child? Better for you that a millstone be hung around your neck and you be dropped into the sea. You hear that, John Hagee? You hear that, John Hagee? You hear that, David Jeremiah? You hear that, Pastor Hibb? You hear it? Jesus said it'd be better that a millstone be hung around your neck and you dropped into the sea than to bring harm to a child. And you pulpit prostitutes are calling for the death of Palestinian children. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I denounce you in the name of the Lord. I pray, Almighty God, shut your mouths. I pray he shuts down your churches. I pray that your lips are sealed and you can't speak again.
Amen. In agreement, 100%. I rebuke them and bind them. This has to stop. And I don't understand a concept where it becomes part of a religious spirit's fervor to want to see an entire race of people erased. That's not God. It's not anything of Jesus right there. And anybody that's in that place, you better start repenting, because you're literally part of a genocide pulpit. You're literally embracing genocide in God's name. Sickening. And it's truly sickening. I mean, Jesus was sacrificed for us. There's no more burnt offerings. We're done. That was the ultimate sacrifice. Accept him, embrace him, and we have eternal life through him as we continue to strive to bring heaven to earth. Man, it's not difficult. But for these fools, I swear, it is the more blood and sacrifice they can have, it's like they just start salivating over like a good steak. They're really that sick. And that includes everybody out here that's promoting Israel in the same way. It's blind obedience, and it's really just comes right out of this incredibly horrible view of the world that somehow there's a second class of Christians and that the chosen people are tolerating us and we must protect them and lift them up and worship them as they annihilate others across the world. Sick, totally sick. And it's one of these things that there should be a lot of fear in people, but there are not. There is not a lot of fear because they lack the fear of God. And this is where I think the crux of all of this is as we lack the fear of God, then people just don't care anymore. They don't care what they do. They don't care what they worship. It's just a bunch of rules that we just make up and go along with. And it's like, oh, that's okay. That sounds like a good idea. We just tag anybody as a terrorist and we go after them. This is the easiest game in the world. Trust me. In an information war, it's the easiest thing in the world. Here's a couple of real easy ones. Take anybody and tag them as a person with child pornography. You notice, I'm going to be real clear about this. And this is a real touchy one. You notice we never ask for proof because what they say is, well, we can't show it to you because if we did, it would be illegal. Okay, but we know that FBI can hack and NSA hack people and deposit stuff on computers. So there's a whole level of reasoning we have to step with here and take a breath, because they're literally engineering hatred between ourselves. And once the person gets stigmatized as a pedophile or a child sex trafficker or as a Zionist, anti-Zionist, anti-Semite, they tag you that forever. And it's the same people that are doing this over and over. What is the heart of God in all of this? What is the heart of God? And the heart of God is to have his children repent and come back to him. That's not difficult. But it sure is impossible in this world. I'm sitting here right now. I'm looking out at Mount Scott from my window. The sun is setting in the west, and the sun is illuminating the mountain. There's still a little bit of snow up there. The clouds are literally just floating around the mountain, and they're almost purple right now with this intense sunset. I have my cows out here in the field. The fields are absolutely green and rich right now. We've had an amazing amount of rain this season. The trees are vibrant. And as I sit here, I'm remarking as we're talking about this and the scenes that we see coming out of Palestine and Gaza and the destruction that they're waging. On the other side of that mountain, Mount Scott, and even in the front of the Mount Scott, it's very bare right now. And it's always a reminder to me of what happened. It was 2019. And we had the same normal quote-unquote fires that we supposedly get every season. Well, that year in 2019, we ended up with suddenly overnight over 120 fires that cropped up across our whole state leading up to that. And I could be wrong by the year. It might have been 2020. I'm thinking back, I think it may have been 2020. In fact, it was 2020. So we lead up to this the days before. We've seen aerial spraying all over the place. The wet weather patterns change. They go from, instead of from west to east, they go to east to west, which we never get because we get winds off the ocean. So the entire flow of weather moved. The air became so crisp, and you hear this reports out of places like Paradise in California. The air became so crisp, it felt like you could literally light a match and things would ignite. And overnight, suddenly, we had 124 fires. We know that there were arsonists involved, and we know, and I have the slide proof on the spot that started in my county, which was just over that mountain, was a directed energy weapon, which was caught on radar. These people will wage war, destroy anything that is of God, anything that is beauty. What that fire did was destroy some of the most beautiful old growth in the entire world. It ravaged the river, which we just drove up on Sunday. And it's never going to be the same. I wouldn't say never. It just won't be the same in my lifetime. These were massive trees, dug firs, and beautiful, pristine forest. It was lit on fire and burned through that entire valley. Destroying the beauty, which is always the same thing, destroyed that which is of God. They use fire here. They use bombs in Gaza. They don't care. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. This is a war for them to exterminate God's children, force them off the land, turn all of this into a productive resource development center for themselves, eliminating population, dwindling us down, packing us into these 15-minute cities. All of that in the name of progress. All of that in the name of saving the world, saving the climate. Take a listen to this piece by the mayor of London candidate, Shyam Batra, talking about 15-minute cities. This is where they want everybody, because then the world is their oyster to do with what they want. And remember, for them, when they say there's too much population, the only reason that they say that is because there's too many people for them to manage. Otherwise, we get too wily. We don't start being obedient to them. And so they have to core us down to a pure minimum so that they don't have to deal with us anymore. And they can entrap us in these 15-minute cities and continue to do what they're doing over in Palestine and any other place they touch. Destroy the land, kill the people. Pretty simple. And by the way, if it's happening in Gaza, don't think for a second they don't want to bring that here, because it's coming.
The 15-minute cities is something that the WEF has created called C40, and it's called C40 Cities. I would urge you to certainly look on the internet about it and then go to all of the TikTokers and see what they're really, really saying. Basically, you won't be able to drive a petrol or diesel car anymore. You'll have to buy electric. If you want food, you will get a calorie-controlled system sent to you by text, saying, this is what you can eat today. This is what you can have today. If you violate any of these things, they'll freeze your bank account. That is the next step. These are stages in which they're going to implement this stuff. And this was signed up by the WEF, and the WEF has signed up with our mayor in London as the chair, and he has gone around the world to communicate this C40 to all of the countries in the world, and most of the countries are looking at adopting it. Now, I am going to abolish it. It is a hopeless position. We are going to be in an open prison, or shall we say a COVID, for the rest of our lives. We will not be able to work unless it's in our 15-minute city. It's diabolical. It's not a right. This is not the right thing. And it's been hidden from the public. No one's talking about it.
Of course, they're not talking about it any more than they're talking about what they're doing in Gaza. This is just a quiet elimination and annihilation of humanity. And they're working overtime for it right now because they're afraid of something. Something is coming that they can't control. We know that. They know that. But they're working faster and more viciously than we are. So with all of that, the food system continues to be one of the most heavily targeted systems to destroy and control. You control the food, you control the people. They have been eliminating food processing plants across the country. They've been building vertical agriculture facilities in major cities that are doing genetically grown greens and genetically grown meat. And don't forget the most important ingredient to all of that are bugs. The future of the human diet, according to them, will be bugs and genetically grown food in labs. That's what you will get, and they will get you there because if you comply with them in any way, you're walking into their trap to be obedient to their world where they dictate exactly what was said, how far you can walk, where you can live, and exactly what you can eat. Take a listen to this about the pigs and what's going on with pigs and mRNA vaccines.
Let's dig into this statistics sheet about mRNA vaccines in live animals and why this is a concern, not only as a consumer, but as a producer as well. They took 525 hogs, injected them with a live mRNA vaccine, and in 21 days, these were the statistics. 25 of them suffered from death, 55 of them became so anorexic that they were near death. 20 of them suffered from lameness, 12 of them suffered from loss of condition, and 25 more of them had near-death symptoms. So we have 70% of these animals that are going to be okay to an extent, and then we have 30% of them that either have died or have near-death symptoms. They did autopsies on the ones that had passed away, and they still found remnants of the live virus vaccine inside the meat of these animals. So from a consumer standpoint, we have to worry about a live virus being inside of our meat that we're putting inside of our bodies. And as a producer standpoint, we have to worry about the health of our animals that can ultimately destroy us, destroy our herd, and destroy our business altogether. I'm interested to see what y'all think about this, so make sure you leave a comment, share it around. Let's get this information out there and make people aware. And as always, guys, buy American and buy local.
War on farmers is the big one. Oregon's doing that now. They're trying to shut down small ranchers and farmers using rules that are established only for big corporate farms by forcing them to comply to rules they can't possibly afford. And so what's happening is that literally you're seeing small farmers being shut down on their use of water. You take away water, we have nothing. Oregon's already tried to proclaim that water is the states to own. It's we, the people in the state. Michigan's a bunch of garbage. The problem is that there's enormous amount of control they're trying to preserve. In certain sense, there is a measure of this. It has some goodness. They're trying to preserve the aquifers over in eastern Oregon, but they're applying these rules to mega farms, to the small farms, and they're not touching the mega farms and ranches. They're just trying to wipe out the small and medium producer. And the idea of that is then they force these rules, these compliances on the big corporate entities, which don't care because they're run by Wall Street. They're run by the greed that just simply wants to make sure that we continue forward with one of their biggest profit areas. You tie animals and people's consumption to the vaccine and you have a winning strategy for profit. You inject every animal with mRNA. It keeps the biggest profit engine going, which is big pharma and the bioweapons industry. You feed it to people. You're going to get them sick, and you're going to drive the other medical industry. You're going to drive medicine, which is all about keeping people sick. And so it's a win-win for everybody in Wall Street. In the meantime, the cattle industry is going to have to incur more costs. Cost of food goes up. Health of food goes down. people starve, people die, nobody cares. And if you're really inside the matrix, you're going to say that it's just one of those things from long COVID that just continues to hang around. This is literally the stupidity of it all. Or why do we have turbo cancers? We have no idea, apparently, right? Our world is literally upside down. And when we go to England and we start to see just how crazy things are getting, but now they're trying to force the sale of homes. Take a listen to this.
Suzanne, where are we going to put these people? The uncomfortable truth, as far as I can see it, is that we are going to have tent cities of asylum seekers popping up around the UK.
Well, I think you summed it up beautifully, Patrick, just the huge pressure that we're seeing now on accommodation. And that does seem to be the only answer. But I'm actually a little bit more worried than that, because I think this is all getting very sinister now. We know that we've had people who have been told that their properties are going to be compulsory purchased for asylum seekers. That pretty much tears up private property rights in this country. I was listening to the radio on the way here, and they were talking about a massive problem facing Britain, which was older people living in houses that were, quote, too big for them. Who's got a right to tell you your house is too big for you? You should be allowed to live where you darn well like. And the implication was very clear. These elderly people are taking houses that they shouldn't have. And I fear that's a worry, that there'll be some kind of move to get them out of those houses. We've also had the horrible scenario last week when Matthew Paris, writing in The Times, talked about how euthanasia wouldn't be a bad thing if it encouraged elderly people to hasten their own deaths. So what? We've got to pop our clogs, have we, forcibly, when we're 60, 70, 80, 90, perhaps earlier, if we're not productive people in society, as Matthew Paris said it. So I think the whole thing now is getting really, really sinister and scary. Okay.
It is, if we allow it. And I think that's ultimately it. We are allowing these psychopaths to continue. And unfortunately, people themselves are relatively weak. And since they are weak, one of the things that they continue to do is that they continue to just walk along with the herd, thinking that somehow that's going to make them safe. We know better, and we know this won't work, but that's not the issue at this point in time. Now, you probably heard today that Taiwan has had one of its biggest earthquakes ever. It's a massive earthquake that literally has been collapsing buildings after Taiwan was hit with the strongest quake in 25 years. The earthquake has a magnitude of 7.4, the strongest earthquake in 25 years to hit the island, followed by a smaller quake with a magnitude of 6.5 struck off Taiwan's eastern coast Wednesday, according to the U.S. Geological Survey, prompting tsunami warnings to southern Japan. The first quake with a magnitude of 7.4 struck at 7:58 p.m. Eastern and had an epicenter located about 18 kilometers, which is 11 miles, south of the city of Hualien, and shook buildings in the capital of Taipei. It's the biggest seismic event by magnitude since 1999, and the so-called 921 quake hit the island and killed more than 2,000 people. Taiwan weather authorities said during the press conference there have been several aftershocks clustered on the island's east coast. The second quake with a magnitude of 6.5 hit 13 minutes later at 8:11 p.m. Eastern, and was located at almost the exact same spot as the first one. Its epicenter was about 11 kilometers northeast of Hualien City. I don't know if I got the pronunciation right, but you get the point. And I'm absolutely certain what I'm going to tell you is that there's no possible way there's anything like a seismic earthquake weapon that uses HAARP or any other of these deep frequency, aurora frequency type weapon systems. And I'm certain that the fact that China is trying to figure a way to take back Taiwan and doesn't want to have a full armed invasion, I'm sure that has nothing to do with anything. So just ignore what I just said and remember, there's no such thing as weather warfare. There's no such thing as earthquake machines and capabilities. And remember, HAARP and chemtrails are simply a conspiracy theory for you crazy tin hatters out there. I'll tell you, you got to be careful. There's nothing to see here. Nothing to see here at all, I'll tell you. My God, goodness. We'll pray for those in Taiwan today, though. That's a tragedy, and it's going to be difficult. But here's another great one for you in the ever-evolving sense of insanity. First ever, bird flu has jumped to cows. Yes, that's right. FDA warns against the raw milk, of course. Did you know that the Mayo Clinic started out being a raw milk clinic to cure people with raw milk? Uh-huh. That was before mRNA. That was before all the vaccines. That was before all the additives that they put in there, like estrogen and other things to try to cause a cow to overproduce milk. Raw milk has a tremendous healing power. But that's just simply me being that conspiracy guy again, because otherwise I'll probably have U.S. Marshals charging my gate, trying to take away everything because I've suggested that the raw milk might cause people to get healthy. Don't drink raw milk, whatever you do. Don't drink raw milk. It's bad, 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 because it might actually cure things, and you don't want that. You want to be part of the matrix, and in part of the matrix, you want to have lots of cancer, lots of fear, lots of depression, lots of big pharma drugs going through you, lots of surgery. I'll tell you, insane. All right, so bird flu has crossed species barriers for the first time, infecting dairy cattle in multiple U.S. states. Of course it has. Sick cattle show alarming symptoms. Milk production dips as disease spreads from cows to birds and now potentially cow to cow. Moo. All that because of, I'm sure we need another vaccine is what this is going to be. FDA's longstanding position is that unpasteurized raw milk can harbor dangerous microorganisms that can pose serious health risks to consumers. This is the same FDA that brought you the clot shot and said it was safe and effective. Just want to make sure about that. And FDA is reminding consumers of the risks associated with raw milk consumption in light of the HPAI detections. So please take your mRNA shot. We know it's good for you. We know it's good for you. So I'll tell you, what a world. Don't drink raw milk. It'll make you, apparently the FDA says it's bad for you. And of course, we know it's bird flu. But here it is. Revealed, U.S. is collaborating with Chinese scientists to make bird flu strains more infectious and deadly. As part of a $1 million project, despite fears, similar tests unleashed COVID. They just want you to take another shot. It's always in the shot. I'm telling you. Roll up your sleeve. Let us inject you. You shall be better. We shall make you happier. We just have to find a way to herd the people so we can continue to infect them with the drugs and the things that can get in their blood, infect their minds, and make them obedient slaves. You shall be a slave. You shall be a slave. Remember that. It's all good for you in the end. But here's some things that are interesting, probably part of the insanity in which we live. I think this is all relative to what this month is anyway. Did you know that we were supposed to have a 13-month calendar? Take a listen.
Have you seen this 13-month calendar? This 1775 Bible shows us that the first day of the week was a Sunday, March was the first month of the year, not January, and that a full year consisted of 13 months opposed to our current 12. So why has everything changed? And who decided to change the months around? Many believe that it was actually to put us out of the rhythm that was so ingrained into our culture, to disrupt the peace and harmony. Think about it if this is true. It is very possible that the holidays we celebrate today and base off of ancient traditions are aligned with a completely different rhythm. Does it not take away the true meaning of the day, specifically religious holidays such as Christmas or Easter? Countries like Ethiopia have stuck to the 13-month calendar, and while we celebrate Christmas on the 25th of December, Ethiopia doesn't celebrate until the 7th of January. This is not the first instance of our calendars and timelines being messed around with, and there is a history of rulers who have decided to change the dates and times for their own benefit. So who knows where we actually are on the time spectrum, if time is actually real?
Oh, I don't know. God has a whole different perspective on time, but so April Fool's then takes on a completely different meaning. That was obviously yesterday, April 1st. Take a listen to this.
You know that April Fool's is actually our real New Year's. In case you're new here, there are actually 13 months in a year, with each month consisting of 28 days. The calendar we use today has, for some reason, been altered to create these uneven months and has completely thrown us out of rhythm. Before our new calendar, we would follow the 28-day moon cycle. Just think about it. It makes perfect sense. If every month had 28 days, the month would always start on a Monday and end on a Sunday. You can't tell me that doesn't make more sense than it beginning and ending on a random day. Even when we look at the meanings of the names of each month, they tell us how wrong the current calendar is. April 1st or April Fools is actually symbolic to us being fooled into thinking that January 1st is really the new year. We are connected to nature in more ways than you can believe. And when we follow nature, it shows us that the real new year is in spring. What's significant about spring? Well, it's when the earth comes alive again. The flowers, the trees, and even the grass begin to blossom and grow back. It's a sign of a reset. So why have we been told otherwise? Well, that's for you to decipher.
Because you need to be out of sync with the world and you need to be living in this forever juxtaposition with reality. You cannot become a child of the Most High when we are out of alignment with everything, and they know that. And they also know the extreme sense of authority that we've been given here by Jesus, and there are no fools to this. And so the entire game has always been and will continue to be to bring us into a world where we are using our free will to destroy ourselves. Not difficult for them to imagine, just difficult for us to get over and to start living the right way. Obviously, one of those things is the continued revealing of truths. Right now, we have a presidential race that's looking at President Trump, and we also have presidential candidate, Robert Kennedy Jr. Now, if you've been following him, he's made a very hard left turn. He happens to be supposedly anti-vax, but most recently he embraced somebody of a radical left position who believes in judicial reform, has been encouraging felons to be let out in the streets, and continues to push for defunding of the police. All of this was post moment when he criticized the Zionists within the country and was slaughtered by it. That takes us back about 4 or 5 months. And in being slaughtered by that, he was then encouraged to toe the line. Much of his funding comes from Rockefellers and other organizations, many of which have ties to the same group that's ruling Israel, that's slaughtering the Palestinians. RFK has also become a strong proponent of eliminating and destroying Hamas and somehow turning a blind eye to the destruction of children. But I think we may have a bigger understanding as to why that might be. If you remember that some time back, RFK revealed that he had been on the Epstein flight. It was kind of a strange reveal to do. We were anticipating something significant in terms of flight logs. It never really came out. But nonetheless, he came out and he said he had flown on the Epstein flight. He had nothing to know. He didn't know anything about it. Didn't know anything what they were. I'm going to beg to differ. All the elites knew who he was. And I think we're finding proof here that I'm going to show you now that they always knew who he was. Especially those that lived up in Martha's Vineyard, which happened to be people like the Kennedys, Oprah, the Obamas, all of that sort of thing. Take a listen to this piece on this open source data that has now tracked over 200 cell phones of the elites and where they were going from home to Epstein Island. Hold on just a second.
Phones of visitors to Jeffrey Epstein's private island, where he and associates allegedly sexually assaulted countless women and underage girls. The company behind the tracking, Near Intelligence, left their data exposed online. Wired found it. Near Intelligence is a data broker with ties to U.S. defense contractors. The maps that they generated show how the company diligently tracked Epstein's visitors' movements over a 3-year period of time. The maps also document a trail of data that could possibly lead back the very places where Epstein's visitors work and live. For example, the maps show how devices moved from the Ritz-Carlton on nearby St. Thomas Island to a specific dock at a nearby marina. From that marina, the data shows the exact route that visitors took to get to Jeffrey Epstein's island. Then, once they were on the island, Near Intelligence tracked his visitors' devices as they wandered around his villa and spent time on the many beaches scattered across his 71-acre property. The data also revealed where the visitors came from. The cell phone signals point to more than 166 locations throughout the U.S., plus cities in Ukraine, the Cayman Islands, Australia, and more. In the U.S., for instance, NIR's data pinpoints people to homes in 80 different cities. That includes mansions and gated communities in both Michigan and Florida, homes in Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket in Massachusetts, a nightclub in Miami, and the sidewalk across the street from Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue in New York City. The data compiled by NEAR captures these movements as far back as July 2016. The data collection ended on July 6th, 2019. That's the exact day of Jeffrey Epstein's arrest. NEAR Intelligence sources its data from advertising exchanges. These are companies that interact with billions of devices as users browse the web and move around the world. The way this works is that before a targeted advertisement appears on an app or a website, your phone sends information about you to real-time bidding platforms and ad exchanges. That data frequently includes location information. While most advertisers will use this data to inform their decisions about whether or not to serve you an ad, companies like NEAR Intelligence will actually siphon off that information, repackage it, analyze it, and sell it. So officially, this data is only supposed to be used for targeted advertising. But NEAR Intelligence has previously been caught providing this data to the U.S. military. This usually happens through a maze of obscure marketing companies, cutouts, and conduits for defense contractors. Our reporting shows how the machinery developed to service all targeted advertisements is allowing these contractors, companies, and governments to engage in mass surveillance. Absent any laws to stop this from happening, we're going to continue to see ad tech be used in unintended ways. So while this data provides us with crucial information about Epstein's Island, what does it mean for everyone else who owns a smartphone? The short answer is this. Anyone with a phone can be tracked just like the visitors to Epstein's Island. But that doesn't actually mean that there aren't steps that you can take to protect your privacy. You can make sure that you only use trusted apps. You can turn off location services on your devices.
March was the first month of the year.
Can use ad blockers. Another thing you can do is you can use VPNs that specifically filter out advertising technology.
And there you have it. There is some ways to prevent, and we have to continue to remain smart on all the technologies that we can use to limit. But the easiest way to move this is to move your life in a direction where ultimately we can ditch the phone and just live off the land and live within communities. Sounds extreme. It's Jeremiah 6:16. Seek the ancient paths and ask. And we have to ask God for that way. This society that we're in is only spinning into a greater level of insanity. And the more that we try to give it hope that it will return to a level of some sort of normalcy, I think the more that we'll see it go crazy. It's built on the principle of our obedience to its rules and its insanity. And the more that we awaken, the more crazy this is going to get. But there is a way. There is a way through all of this. There is a way to do the right thing. And there's a way that we can defeat this with just simple actions on a daily basis. This is a story here of just kindness. This is an older woman. I'm going to guess she's about 65 years old, maybe a little bit more. When she's found by this man here, she is in one of these electric carts sitting. She's in an abandoned building with a few bags. And he asks her for food, and she gives him what she has, and what he does next is beautiful. Take a listen.
Our $32,000 was donated to you to help you out.
What?
2 days ago, this is how I met Linda.
Excuse me, ma'am. Sorry, really hungry. Do you have any food I could get her? Are you sure? Thank you so much. What are you going to eat?
Oh, I've got plenty.
Yeah.
Here, let me give you some more. You take that.
Thank you. That's more than enough.
Here.
Can I give you a hug? Bless you. I have something for you.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
What?
I have $1,000 for you. I was just helping out the first person to help me.
Thank you. You can go to a motel tonight instead of sleeping in my tent.
You've been sleeping in a tent?
Last night, teacher in the storm.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm gonna get in a motel tonight.
The next day, I met up with Linda to give her the surprise of her life.
Over $32,000 was donated to you to help you out.
What? Jimmy, I can get a van.
That's my next step from getting up off the street is not a room for rent in somebody's place. I need to get a van where I can sleep, I can work, I can take care of myself, I can be mobile. I know which one I'll get. I know
I've
been watching
one.
Oh, my gosh.
The simple acts of kindness and loving our neighbor, exactly as Christ told us to do. It's really not any more difficult than that. Look out for one another. Love one another. Spend time talking to your neighbors. Quit trying to see your neighbors as enemies. Find a way into their heart. That's the greater commission. And it's the greater challenge of why we're here. We're not here in this world to deal with this insanity or to be part of it. We're here in this world to awaken people's hearts and minds to the love in Christ and what that means in terms of kingdom. And in doing so, as we awaken another and another and another, this world will change. It's a long hoe, a row to hoe sometimes. It looks that way. But at the core of all of this is love. The love, the most powerful weapon out there. And it's simply the act of engaging with people. The act of doing the acts of kindness, giving what we have and what we can to another. No one is limited. Love can be, the giving act can be one of just a hug. It can be money. It can be items. It can be food. Whatever it is, it's on your heart. But you never know how far you'll impact another. You never know what all that means when all that comes down. And we have to literally, at the end of the day, hold ourselves accountable in an amazing way before the throne to ask and to answer the question of what did we do? What did we do in this time to make a difference? What did we do in this time to truly change people's lives and to and open their eyes to return to God? That's on us to do. It's not on anybody else. And if we don't do this now and do it with intensity, we're not doing our job. We are amazing people. We are the children of the Most High. And it's time that we really start walking in that authority and acting like it. So I'm just going to close with these comments and then we'll go to prayer. Last night, I mentioned to you earlier today that the reason the show was canceled last night is because I had discovered that I had a beehive, that after all of a winter of being literally, all three of my hives being literally ravaged, this particular hive had been flipped upside down and there was no lid on it and it had poured rain. There was no possible reason anything should have survived in that. And on Sunday, when I was cleaning up, I looked inside and there was still an active hive. Not a large one, but an active hive. The bees looked malnourished. They were clinging on to life, literally. And I made the decision, and that's why I canceled the show last night, that I was going to postpone my trip to get out there and to make sure that hive was saved. So I did. And I worked it late at night because that's the best time to do it. I had to flip the hive over. I had to set up a new super. I had to put in new frames. I had to pull out. The bees were fortunately only on three frames because those frames were a little bit wet and there was some mold on them, which I was able to clean off a bit. And I was able to move the bees over. And then I found another cluster of bees inside, which I believe is where the queen was. And I was able to put them all into this new hive. I did this all under the headlamp with my bee outfit on. Got the bees relocated, gave them some new food. And then I used a ratchet strap to lock it down so that it couldn't move off of the stand again to give it some security. Now that was last night. And I really didn't know how they'd make it through the night, but there was obviously enough activity, but there were hundreds of dead bees in and around there. The stench was strong. And I cleaned all that out, gave them a new home, gave them food. When you want to watch the power of rejuvenation and hope in the world, you witness something like that. Today, when I checked the hive, you could never tell that there was anything wrong. The activity out of the hive was amazing. Bees flying everywhere, in and out, bringing in pollen, rebuilding. They've been given a spark of hope. And it's a reminder to us all that when we get buried in some of this darkness, that if we don't give hope to another, we're not going to have hope in our own hearts and ourselves. So do an act of kindness for somebody. Do it every day. Seek the heart of God in all that you do, in everything. And walk as Jesus would walk and ask, how would Jesus respond? And when we walk that, and that's the challenge I put out on the 1st of April, to do that challenge, to walk that way for an entire month in everything you do, whether it's taking out the garbage, whether it's working in the garden, whether it's taking a shower, whatever it is, ask God for his eyes to see what he wants you to see and do everything with the question of how would Jesus do this? That's the power of change. That's the power of transforming a world. That's the power of awakening in this world in the spiritual way. And that's how we defeat this enemy. Because there's nothing that they can do to us when we touch into that space. Nothing. And that's why we're here. We're here because this is the greatest rescue mission in the history of humanity. And we've got a lot of work to do. And we're winning. Patriots, let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you today for a blessed day, a beautiful day, a reminder of rejuvenation, a reminder of the power and glory of love, a reminder of what it takes, just the spark of things to reignite that passion of life and the drive to live. Father, just ask a blessing today for so many. We pray for those in Taiwan tonight that are suffering through yet, it looks like, a third earthquake that just hit. We're praying for those in Gaza that are suffering through the miseries of a hand of hell that is literally trying to erase children and the entire population. And we're praying against all of that evil. We're praying against the pulpits that are finding themselves bathing in the blood of children. We bind them and we gag them and just declare that they cannot speak anymore. We're praying against those that are looking and just fomenting the ideas of war and fear. We bind them and cast them out and just pray life and love into their hearts. And we just bind fear in general. For every time fear comes, we just speak love into this. And let us remember that, we just pray that each one can be touched with the understanding of what it is to be a child of the Most High. So Father, we just lift people up tonight in an amazing prayer, a prayer of rejuvenation, a prayer of inspiration, a prayer of the love of Christ, to get the foothold on that rock of faith, to understand what it is to have a house on the rock of faith, not a house built on sand. And to understand that as we move forward here, there will be a great shaking, but we will be fine as long as we stay tucked into you. But even more than fine, it's the idea of us stepping out into the world to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to walk in the apostolic, speak in the prophetic, to heal the sick and the broken, to cast out demons and to raise the dead. That's the principle of the fivefold ministry, which is in our heart. It's alive. It is well. And even then, to seek greater works. So, Father, we just pray that those words of Jesus that were given to us will just embolden people to be greater in every day, to let go of this world in so many ways. It wants to bind us and anchor us to the fear and the shortages and the pain and the suffering that it feeds on. And instead step over to that other place of praying for healing and restoration and being relentless about the elevation of our love in the world, not succumbing to highlighting the death and destruction that the enemy loves to wage so often. Guide us in these times, Father, and bless us in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Patriots. It's going to be a beautiful week. We have that event on April 8th. And remember, that's a big one. We're having a potluck Sunday night on the 7th. Remember that. That's going to be big. And I'll be there. I'll be in Flemingsburg on the April 6th. And then I'll be up in Ohio on the 7th. And we'll be there through the eclipse on the 8th. It's going to be a fun event. So be there. It's going to be amazing. If you're a vendor and you want to put up a booth, there's no charge. We'd love to have you up there showing your wares. That would be great. And we'll talk more about that tomorrow morning. All right, Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We're at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I will see you tomorrow morning for Bended Knee. Until then or until the next time, God bless, good night, thank you, and out for now.
Oh, I want to feel something. I just want to breathe again. Dive into the deepest end. Oh, I wanna feel